Okay, Philippians chapter 4, I'll start reading at verse 14 tonight and read through verse 19. And I think you can see from this that next Wednesday evening should be the last in the book of Philippians for us. So, okay, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. I've received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So last time we looked to verse 10, Paul is thanking the Philippians for reviving their concern in caring for him. And so now in verse 14, he says, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. Now, how did they do that? They did that by sending Epaphroditus with a gift, some kind of financial gift to support Paul's ministry. So he says, you've done well to share with me in that. And then he points out, you've not only done well with this, but you have, the Philippian church, you have as a church been involved with me in this from the time you began. Verse 15. The first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, and Philippi is in Macedonia. So after I left you, after preaching the gospel there, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. In other words, there was a time when Philippians, you were the only ones who were supporting me. But you did, even as relatively new believers. And you see in verse 15 that this is not only for Paul a matter of the Philippians giving, but he says it's also in the matter of giving and receiving. you know, there are some people who give and maybe think they are pretty good at giving, but they're not good at receiving. You know, we have to learn to receive as well as to give. So Paul calls it the matter of giving and receiving, and we'll get glimpses in these verses about what kind of a receiver Paul had become. Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs." So even when I was in Thessalonica, and when Paul was in Thessalonica, he was actually in some great need of help and was letting people know that he had needs. And who responded to that? The Philippians did. Verse 16 says, more than once. They didn't say, hey, we just took up an offering for Paul. They said, yeah, we took an offering for Paul. Let's take another one and another one. You know. So these people have become generous people in giving. Now, why is Paul commenting on this, commending them for it? And if you were to talk to whatever, fundraisers and so forth today, you would say, oh yeah, Paul was doing this so that by thanking them and encouraging them in this, they will give even more. In other words, it's a fundraising gimmick. And many times missionary letters, missionary prayer letters and stuff are considered by people to really be fundraising gimmicks. Well, it's very clear that's not what this is for Paul. This is not Paul trying to raise money. In fact, I don't really see Paul ever trying to raise money anywhere. We see Paul making needs known, and when he made the needs known, then people would be led of the Lord to give and to respond to that. So verse 17 makes this very clear. He says, not that I seek the gift itself. So I'm not looking for what you're sending me, for what you're giving me. Because he had just said here in chapter 4, back in verse 11 and verse 12, he says, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content with whatever the circumstances are that I'm in. Whether I have a little or whether I have a lot. Whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full. Whether I have an abundance or whether I have a need, suffering need. And he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, verse 13. So Paul isn't looking at the money. He's not concerned about it in that sense. He's learned to be content. Well, then, what is he seeking? If he's not seeking the financial gift. Back to verse 17. But I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Something happens, Philippians, when you give. When you give, okay, Paul says, I get the gift and I'm thankful for the gift. But there's something else that happens. When you give, you get profit. That's the word he uses. P-R-O-F-I-T. When you give, you get profit. Now, I know this is something certainly the unsaved world can't and won't understand this at all. But even many believers don't understand it. Giving is God's way of keeping you in good finance. Now, you know, people say, well, how can I make a profit if I'm giving it all away? And of course, the answer is you're missing the whole supernatural grace element of God, that this is the way God works. There's something that happens to your account, and some of that's in the form of profit, and some of that may be in the form of eternal profit as well. Verse 18, I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent. In other words, Epaphroditus did a great job. You sent him, he brought the full amount, and I've received every bit of it. I've received everything in full. And not only that, I have an abundance. You sent more than I could even spend right now. I have an abundance. So he says, I'm amply supplied. I've received it from Epaphroditus, what you've sent. Now, Paul receives their gift. How does he receive it? How does he look at it? The end of verse 18. He looks at it as a fragrant aroma. Now, he's not talking about the smell of money when he talks about a fragrant aroma. He's talking about the aroma of a sacrifice, like when a burnt offering is given as a sacrifice, it gives off smoke. It gives off an aroma. And throughout the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that aroma is pleasing to God. Well, their gift was a sacrifice. In other words, Paul received this as a sacrificial gift. The Philippians were not giving what they could afford to give. The Philippians were sacrificing. They were sacrificially giving. In other words, there were times that they were wanting to give even what they didn't have to give yet. And they maybe worked or did things or found ways in of some kind to come up with more over and above. So it's an acceptable sacrifice, a fragrant aroma, and it's well-pleasing to God. How does Paul receive their gift? He receives it with the recognition that while Paul is benefiting from it, the one they're really giving the gift to is the Lord. They're really giving to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And that's a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. It's well pleasing to God. Sacrificial giving. Second Corinthians chapter 8 gives us some clue into the Philippians and others in Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Those churches of Macedonia were Philippi, the Philippians, Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, and Berea, the Bereans. Now, what were these churches doing? And the Philippians were among these. 2 Corinthians 8:2. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Okay, what did they have? They had poverty. They did not have an abundance of money, but they did have an abundance of something. They had an abundance of joy. So from their deep poverty and their abundance of joy, in a great deal of affliction, so this wasn't easy for them, there was an overflow from them in the wealth of their liberality, their generosity. 2 Corinthians 8:3, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." They will give according to your ability. Okay, but sacrificial giving is giving beyond your ability. Not only that, 2 Corinthians 8:4, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Paul said, you know what? I knew they were in so much affliction and poverty, I didn't even ask them to contribute. I didn't even ask them, but you know what? They begged me, Paul says, the Philippians and others begged him to be allowed to give. Okay? You know, we should have whatever, maybe an invitation or an altar call for that. Who this morning would like to beg us to be allowed to give more? Please come forward and beg us to be allowed to give more. You know, I don't think we see anything like that. Yep. 2 Corinthians 8:5, "And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Okay? More important than, okay, hey, we get to give, but you know what? They were begging because they first had given themselves to the Lord. And they'd given themselves to Paul and Paul's team. So Paul is recognizing this. And so he receives the Philippians' gift not only with great gratitude, and not only with a great sense of, I got my need met, and there's even more than I need, but he does it realizing that this is worship to God. It's worship to God. And his prayer for them is that this will increase in their account. Now, how does that happen? Philippians 4:19. "And my God will supply all your needs," the word for your is plural. The point here is not that this is just for individuals. This is for the church. My God will supply all your, the church's, needs. And God will supply the Philippians' needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, how rich is God? How many riches in glory does he have? And that's far from just money, isn't it? That's all kinds of things. We saw something of those riches in Ephesians chapter 1. Great riches. Riches in glory in Christ Jesus. These riches are all in Christ. Well, I want my riches to be in the U.S. government. Okay? That's not working very well, is it? I want my riches to be in my company or in my business or in my investments. Paul says riches are in Christ. They're in Christ. They're riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All of the things of heaven brought to us now. So there's a great point here. The Philippians' giving in support of Paul moves the heart of God to supply for all of the needs of the Philippians. Can I say it this way? Missions giving is the key to keeping your church in good finance. Did you hear what I said? I said missions giving. General fund giving is not the key to keeping your church in good finance. Missions giving is. Because the more you give, the Philippians were giving to support Paul as a missionary. The more you give like the Philippians gave, the more God will supply the needs of the church. Sacrificial giving out of hardship, out of affliction, even when you don't have it. You give it. And God blesses that. So, how will there be enough supply for whatever the needs are? And it may be that many of the things that the church thinks are needs are not. But those things that are, in fact, needs, God supplies. And He always does. He always does for those who give. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying to the Philippians, because of your history in giving, not only this once by sending Epaphroditus, but multiple times over the years, because of your history in giving, Paul says, I'm confident, and you can be confident in this, that God will supply all your needs. God is not limited. You know, God is not limited by our economy. You know that? God is not limited by the value of a dollar. That doesn't limit Him at all. He has all of the wealth of heaven, and much of that isn't currency at all. So, there's a lot to think about. Some of you probably have heard this. It comes actually from years ago from Lewis Sperry Chafer, who was the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary. And they were in their early days and trying to get things started. And there were people like Harry Ironside were involved in that. And they were just in need of money. They were in need of funds to get this program started. So they had a prayer meeting, and they're in there praying. And Ironside was in the prayer meeting, and he prayed, Lord, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell a few of them and give us the money. And they kept on praying. And it wasn't 5 minutes later that there came a knock on the door, and a Texas cattleman showed up, and he brought in a check for more money than they needed to get the school started. So literally, you know, the cattle on 1,000 hills, he cashed in some cattle and brought the money. And that was part of the early founding and ministry of Dallas Seminary way back when. So the Lord supplies, and he's not at any lack to supply. He has riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Well, Lord, we have even on our prayer list tonight to pray for our finances and our budget and all of this. Lord, I do thank you that in this time where in our general fund giving we're running way behind, yet, Lord, in this day of generosity offering and in our mission giving has been good. It could be better. And the day of generosity offering so far, and there are still some who are planning to give to that, has been generous. And so, Lord, it is true that in the midst of real need, there are people here who give and give sacrificially. Lord, in all of that, we then count on you for the supply of all the needs that are here, whether those needs are financial or whether they're needs like a need for a pastoral candidate and those kinds of things. Lord, you will supply for a great commission gospel giving church. And so, Lord, we look to you and rely upon you in that. And may any who think they can't afford to give, may they learn the matter of sacrificial giving. Giving and receiving to your glory. So, Lord, as we pray tonight, we have much to pray about, but we realize that your arm is not short. Your power is not diminished. And you hear and you answer. And so, Lord, may it be done according to your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.